This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to RockOnTheMoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Maybe step four. Invest 15% of your income in retirement.
At least, right?
Minimum. At least. Now, we have a lot of people that work for companies that listen to us that also get a company match.
So the match would be 15% of your personal income, and then the match is icing on that cake.
That's what I do. Now, I know there's people out there that will do, like, there's one company where we have a lot of listeners from. They get almost a 10% match. It's like 9.3%, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So a lot of them will do 10% and they figure, well, I'm getting that. So now I'm at 19.3.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't afford 15%, because sometimes that's a big chunk.
Especially if you're a new employee, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're not making a lot initially. You're brand new, and it takes about 5 years to be fully vested. I get that.
Yeah.
But
for
me personally, I always believe you do your 15%, whatever happens, whether you're getting profit sharing, which is a whole other thing, and company match, that is all extra. I do not include that in my 15%. That's what I would recommend. That's just me. What do you think?
I agree. I totally agree. So where would you put it?
Okay, so as we just talked about in that other social media question, let's say you're with a large company, a major Fortune 500 company. I would say 95%, here comes the lawyer part of you, a majority of them out there have quality 401k plans because they're a very large company. They want to treat their employees well. They don't like losing their employees. They cover all the fees typically with your 401k plans. You should always call HR and find out what are all the fees associated with it. Are there any hidden fees? But typically, you're pretty well set with the bigger companies. Those places, I recommend maxing out your 401k there. The order of investing should be your 401k, IRA, HSA, blah, 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 blah. Some people call those ladders, investment ladder. On the flip side, if you're with a small company with not that many employees, typically, I'm keeping it very general, Amanda, for you.
Because I might disagree with you here.
I know. But they may have higher fees because the company is not covering for them, or the 401k provider is not one of the major financial companies like T. Rowe Price or Merrill Lynch or Fidelity or Schwab. So those fees could be a lot higher. So in those cases, if you have a company match, just do the company match and then go over to the IRA at our favorites at Vanguard, Schwab, and Fidelity.
And when you say IRA, you mean Roth IRA.
Yes, we should always do a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. I know you don't like the word always, but if you're going to open an IRA, now, if you have a 401k, some companies, whether it's a 457 or 401k, you may have the option to have a Roth at those companies as well. Now, this is where, if you have a high income, some people want to do a traditional 401k because you need to lower your tax exposure, right?
Some of us might be in that situation.
I mean, those of us that are in six figures, they'll worry about the taxes further down the road. That's that's actually a popular strategy as well. For other people, you may want to just lock into today's tax rates and do the Roth 401k. So it depends on what your company and your income amounts are. So if you're in the six figures, you may want to bring it down because you don't want to go in the next tax bracket.
Yeah.
So as far as what should you invest in within these 401ks or your IRA?
Oh, let's beat this dead horse.
Oh, yeah. So there's two different ways. And Dave Ramsey, Clark Howard, everybody is okay with this. And it's what we've been saying for how long we've been talking about it. This is what Warren Buffett tells you to do. All the billionaires tell you to do this, but people still want to fight this. I don't know why. An S&P 500 index fund. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people actually don't understand what an S&P 500 is. All that is the Standard & Poor's, and they adjust this every year. It's the 500 best companies by market capitalization worth in America. These are America's best 500 companies. Why would you not want to invest in America's best 500 companies? And they readjust this every year. So right. At the top of the list, Amanda, we have Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. You're getting all those companies.
So without having to do any of the research and to all of their...
You're getting Boeing. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Boeing is a good example there. Or not. But you're getting all the airlines. You're getting all the technology companies. A lot of technology companies are here in America. That's what you're buying. It's a great... There's nothing better. And you do get 8 to 10% per year, long term. And if you go this route... You cannot change in and out of this fund. Stick with it. That's how it works. If you want to do the Dave Ramsey thing where he talks about having four different funds, which I do not do because I don't have them available to me, growth and income, growth, aggressive growth, and international. And here are some examples of those categories. Growth and income would be your Vanguard 500 index fund, your S&P 500 fund. Growth funds could be something called like a Vanguard Capital Opportunity Fund. You can go Google it yourself. The aggressive growth would be like the Vanguard Tax Managed Small Cap Fund. And international would be the Vanguard International Explorer Fund.
And so you know what I've noticed, Craig? So my company offers a 401k through Fidelity. And we have a list of options, like you've posted some of the options for some of the companies you work for. And they are actually already categorized into what type of fund it is. So you can very easily see, this is identified as a growth fund.
Yes.
Or this is identified as an aggressive fund.
Absolutely.
So you can already get, you know, an idea of what it is before you even have to click in and see more detail.
Right. So the whole idea is S&P 500 index fund, 80% of all funds that try to beat S&P 500 cannot do that of actively managed funds. Only 20% of funds can beat the S&P 500 index fund. So why not? If you walked into a casino, Amanda, and you had an 80% chance of winning or a 20% chance of winning, which way would you go?
I'd go to the craps table.
Which, you know what? You know what? That right there shows me you know exactly what's going on because that's the only game I go play.
Yeah, that's the only one you have a chance at.
Yeah, I know. Man, you're impressing me all the time. But wouldn't you just go to the 80% chance table?
I would bet on 80, yeah.
Right, which would be your S&P 500 index fund.
That's right.
If you are going to pick these other funds, like Dave Ramsey talks about, you're supposed to find the ones that do consistently beat the S&P 500 index fund. It just takes some more work. So what we keep saying is for beginners and most of you out there, just do the index, and as you learn over time, then you can go start doing your own research, and then you can go try and find those other funds. But please don't get
beyond. But what should we avoid like the plague, Craig? Let's remind everyone, which ones are we avoiding like the plague? Target date funds.
Target date funds, yes. Anything currently in this environment for the last 10 years, anything with bonds in them, which is the target date. I don't like target date funds. And we do need to do a segment coming up. I'll explain the history of how that showed up, where they came from. Companies went to Congress to get this approved. If you have to have Congress approve something, a product for you, and they got heavy lobbied for that, do you think that's probably a good thing you should be investing in? Kind of like universal life.
Yeah.
Where you're basically in the same neighborhood. And if I explain the history of it, you'll probably think completely different about target date funds.
Are you going to post a list of the recommendations?
Yeah. So I found some people who went through and tried to find some common like Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard funds that fit the Dave Ramsey categories. So I'm going to post that on the website. And also in the show notes for this podcast. So if you have one of those podcast players that can show the show notes right in there, do that. Or go to rockonthemoney.com and look at our episode right there, and you'll see the notes right there. And I'll list all the funds right there. So you can go look at them if you would like. Just something for you to start learning on your road to financial independence.
Perfect. You know, you did mention earlier about smaller business 401k. Yes. So I thought this would be a good time to talk about SEP IRAs. Craig.
Absolutely. This is something you know a lot about.
I do, because I've been running my own company for a number of years, self-employed, before I took on this job with the company I'm mm-hmm. with now. So a SEP IRA, you might hear it as SEP, it's S-E-P, that's a self-employed plan, mm-hmm. It's a simplified plan is what it is. The contribution limits are much higher than your typical Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. So for salaried workers, it's a pretty easy calculation. You can contribute your company can contribute 25% of your compensation to a SEP IRA for you.
Wow.
If you're like a self-employed entrepreneur, though, for example, or like you, it's just you running your own business, like you have your own LLC, that's what I did for a mm-hmm. while, or you're just like a sole proprietor, it's a bit more complicated to do the calculation, and you certainly would want to involve your tax advisor in this calculation. Every year at the end of the year, I was asking my tax advisor, how much can I put in a SEP this year?
Yeah.
Because it reduces the income, the pass-through income for your individual company. So it's a benefit both to your small business to reduce that taxable income and mm-hmm. also to you, the individual, to grow your retirement. So if you are self-employed as an entrepreneur, then it takes the gross income, but then removes both the SEP IRA contribution and a portion of your self-employment tax, the part that's allocable to the employer's payroll tax liability. After you run all those numbers, the limit is 20% of adjusted gross profit.
Wow.
So it's a much more complicated calculation if you're mm-hmm. not a simple employee of a small business. If you're the owner and doing your own plan, then it's more complicated. So the maximum, though, get this, Craig, maximum contribution is $56,000 in 2019.
Yeah, that I think that's the part I like the most, because normally it was at $19,500.
I think so. 401k. Yeah. I don't know. So they are different than 401ks and many other plans in that employees don't make the contributions of their own. It's entirely up to the employer alone to set up and put money in the SEP IRAs.
Oh, okay.
So it does. Yeah. So it limits your ability for average workers to use SEP IRAs. And it's typically only small business owners and self-employed workers who take advantage of the maximum contribution. So like if you have your own company and you want to show not as much profit for that company, you would then invest in a SEP IRA. But again, mm-hmm. it's using that complicated complication. So definitely, definitely, definitely get a tax advisor involved. One other small note here is small business owners with employees can't just use a SEP IRA for their own benefit. One of the rules with the SEP IRA is that the percentage of salary that you contribute on behalf of each employee must be consistent across the board.
Oh,
yeah. So let's say you wanted to contribute 25% of your income as the owner, you would also have to make a contribution from the company funds to each employee's SEP IRA for 25% of their income.
Ah, what if I was the only employee?
Then you can do it up to whatever that maximum is, either the 20 or 25%, depending on what your tax advisor tells you, up to the maximum of $56,000.
I don't mean to trip you up, but if I was a sole proprietor, mm-hmm. could I do this?
Yes.
Wow.
Speak to your tax advisor.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Ms. Lawyer.
Yes. I am not awesome. A tax advisor.
I know. Yeah.
The other option that I just wanted to throw out there that some people may or may not know about is what's called a TSP IRA. Mm,
yeah.
It's a thrift savings plan. I think I got that right. This is an IRA option that's available to military members and also certain government employees, so even civilian government employees. It's very similar to a Roth 401k, not the Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. There are no income limits. Like you have income limits with the Roth IRA.
Right.
You know, once you hit a certain income, you can no longer contribute to the Roth unless you do a backdoor. Mm-hmm. There's also the contribution limits are higher. It's at the $19,500 limit right now.
Okay, great.
So that's another option for the military and government employees. And you can do this in addition to the other Roth IRA you have.
Nice.
So it's another way to have another bucket.
Oh, so like you could,
if you're an individual, like sole proprietor, you can have a SEP IRA and a Roth IRA. So yeah, I mean, if you're running out of place buckets to put your money, when you're looking at your 15% of your household income and you're running out of room and you don't have a 401k available to you and you've already maxed out your Roth IRA, these are some other options to help you, round out your step four.
Awesome. That was great. Boy, my head hurts. That's a lot of information.
Yeah.
We covered it, though. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rock Band USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.